Hey, folks, often in the spiritual life, you have heard of the sheep and the shepherd. Yeah, sometimes you remember the passage where it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And that conjures up a picture of sheep following a shepherd throughout the field. I know that in my mind, that's often what takes place when I think about that term sheep and shepherd, particularly as it applies to a spiritual walk or a spiritual life. So we want to delve into that just a little bit more as we continue our look in the parables at the sheep, the gate, and the shepherd. We're going to be looking at passages that come out of John chapter 10. So grab your Bible. I'll see you here in just a second. Hey, folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church of Oak Ridge, North Carolina. We are so glad that you're joining us tonight. Just a moment ago, I mentioned that we're going to be looking at the passages that come out of the book of John, chapter 10, and we're going to be discussing the sheep, the gate, and the shepherds, as often has been mentioned, essentially throughout Bible studies or church. You've probably heard this many times, or maybe even in talking about the Lord's Prayer, "The Lord is my shepherd," same sort of deal. Well, let's jump right on in. Let's look at what our passages tell us. I'm going to go ahead and read our selections, which are actually going to be John chapter 10, verses 1 through 5, and then also 7 through 18, and then we're going to come back to a lot of those. So John chapter 10, beginning with verse 1, says, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. But they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of the stranger." Now, if you drop on down to verses 7 through 18, beginning with verse 7, says, "Then Jesus said to them again, 'Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for his sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice. And there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore, my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father." Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you now, again, we ask that your word would spring forth hope and life within our own hearts. Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit would speak to us during this time that we have gathered around your word. Lord, we're grateful that your word does not return void, and if we come with an attentive heart, we know that the Spirit will speak to each and every one of us. So, Father, right now, I just pray that you will help us have understanding into your word, Lord, that we might glean much from it today, and that, Lord, you would use me as your messenger to disseminate your word to your people in a way that the Spirit may use it in their hearts and lives to draw them close to you. As always, Lord, we pray that as we lift you up, if there's one that doesn't know you, that today would truly be the day that they would turn their life over to you and become a brother or sister in Christ and have that place in heaven that has that's been prepared for them. Lord, we look forward to this time. Speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. See, now when we look at these particular passages and we're talking about, you know, the sheep, the shepherd, we're talking about the pastors, I want to pose a question to you for a moment. What is the significance of Jesus referring to himself as the gate, particularly in verses 7 as well as in verse 9? Well, in these verses, Jesus identifies himself as the gate for the sheep. Now, this imagery suggests that he is the entry point for the sheep and to enter the safety of the sheepfold. Now, it's very interesting that if you look at some history and you look back through the times of what those sheepfolds were like, there were times that honestly, there were many shepherds that would put the sheep all together in a particular area that was surrounded by a wall, a fence, whatever you might want to call it, but there was one gate. Now, there's something interesting that's going to be coming up here very shortly, and I want to allude to that when we get to that particular part, but just remember that part where he says, you know, I know my sheep. He says, I call them. Yeah, I know them by name. Just keep that in the back of your mind for just a moment. But just remember for now, in these verses, the first verses, Jesus is identifying himself as the gate for the sheep. And this suggests that he is the entry point for the sheep to be able to enter the safety of the sheepfold. Now, by calling himself the gate, Jesus emphasizes that he is the exclusive way to find salvation and security. Not just a good way. People around my church have often heard me say this. I'll say it very often. Jesus is not a good way to heaven. He's the only way. There is no other way. Just as the shepherds used gates to protect and to lead their sheep, Jesus is asserting his role as the protector and the guide for his followers, those who will follow him. So today, you know, as we think about these things and as the Holy Spirit speaks to our heart, we need to acknowledge that Jesus truly is the only way to find true spiritual fulfillment and protection. You know, now evaluate whether or not you are seeking other gates or other paths for guidance and safety instead of relying solely upon Jesus. Now, I know that may sound strange. You may have grown up in church. You may have followed the Lord for a very long time. And that may have sounded like a question that you might sit back and go, well, yeah, we know that. I can't tell you how many people today are seeking true life, happiness, whatever, in so many other ways other than through Jesus Christ. You know, there's often people will tell me, well, Jesus is not the only way to heaven. Well, I beg to differ. According to the Word of God, there is no other way that men can enter into the kingdom of heaven except through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And I will stand on that. This Word says that. I believe it, and I will stand on that. There aren't many ways to the Father. There's one way, and that one way is through Jesus Christ. Okay? So, you know, we need today, as far as being able to take what we learn and apply it to ourselves, we need to acknowledge that Jesus truly is the only way to find that spiritual fulfillment and protection. And we need to evaluate whether we're seeking him or whether we're seeking other ways or other paths of guidance and safety instead of relying solely upon Jesus. So that was question number one. What about question number two that we find in our text today? Now, here's the question I pose to you. How does Jesus' description of the good shepherd contrast with the hired hands that we read about in John chapter 10, verses 11 through 13? Let me go ahead and read those few verses for you again. This is John chapter 10, verses 11 through 13. It says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolves coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolves catch the sheep and scatter them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. Here's something we need to look at in that particular set of scriptures. Jesus distinguishes between himself as the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep and the hired hand who abandons the sheep when the danger arises. You see, the good shepherd's commitment to the sheep is rooted in a couple of things. One of those is love, and another thing is sacrifice. Now, contrasting with the hired hand's lack of genuine concern, this reflects on Jesus' willingness to sacrifice his life for humanity's salvation, and this emphasizes his dedication and love for his followers. Now, most of us can understand that particular application. You know, it's always been said that, you know what, you will always take care of something that is your own far better than you would take care of something that belongs to somebody else. Now, if you've ever had something and you had to allow somebody to management, and you saw them mismanage it or neglect it, you know, maybe you had equipment and every time the equipment went out, it came back broken or something and nobody ever owned up to it. You know, you knew if it was your own, how you take care of it. You would like somebody else to do the same. Well, the hireling is not going to take care of those sheep in the same way that the shepherd, the one true shepherd, our Lord and Savior, is going to take care of them. So today, as we think about that particular thought, why don't we reflect on areas of our lives where we might be serving as hired hands instead of a committed shepherd. Ask yourself if your dedication to others mirrors the sacrificial love that Jesus displays in your life. You know, most of the time when we do that, we find ourselves lacking in so many different ways. But you know what? If the Holy Spirit has pointed that out to you, then there's a great opportunity for you to make some changes and some adjustments in your life starting today. So let's look at yet another question in our text today. Another question is simply this: what can we learn from Jesus' statements about knowing his sheep and being known by them, which we read in John chapter 10, verses 14 and 15. Let me share those with you again. In verses 14 and 15, he says, "I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep." Remember, I told you to hold on to a thought. Remember that for just a second, okay? "I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." Now, there's something that I want to point out right here that goes back in history. That, remember, I said a minute ago that there were often many, many shepherds that would bring their sheep to a particular sheep fold, particularly for the night. They may have had them out in the pastures grazing all day, but then as night would come, they would bring them back in and they would put them inside that fence or that wall. So now all of a sudden you're sitting there going, well, here are several shepherds. All of them have their own sheep, their own flocks. How do you distinguish between which sheep belong to you? You know, because remember, the next day, they're going to let them back out. They're going to take them back out to pasture. So how do you know that you get all of your sheep back? Now, some would sit back and say, well, they count. You know, I can count my sheep. Well, in the midst of all these sheep, how do you know which one are yours? Believe it or not, here's what they would do. The sheep actually knew the voice of the shepherd. So the shepherd would go to the gate, and the shepherd would call his sheep. And when he would call his sheep, they would hear his voice, and they knew him, and they would run to meet him at the gate, and then he would lead them out into the pastures. Isn't that a really cool concept? And what was it that verse just told us as we started off in verse 14? He said, "I'm the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own." In other words, as his children, we know and hear his voice. Man, to me, that was just such a great way and a great parallel concept for us to be able to understand that. So one of the things we want to observe about that is that Jesus expresses a deep mutual relationship between himself and his followers, akin to his relationship with his own Father. Okay? Now, this highlights the intimacy and the personal knowledge that Jesus has with each and every believer. And this demonstrates the importance of a personal relationship with him. It reflects the depth of connection and trust that characterizes the shepherd-sheep relationship that we are talking about. Man, isn't it great that, you know, in the midst of even many around you, that you can hear and know and understand the voice of your Heavenly Father. Isn't that great? And the cool part about it is he knows you and you know him. What a concept and what a comparison, man. That's just wonderful. Remember, when we've been talking about parables are stories that have been told that people can understand to drive home a biblical truth. And that is the biblical truth that is being driven home today, is particularly this. The Lord knows his sheep. He calls them by name, and they understand his voice. And I pray that you can say that you are in that population as well. So today, as we think about those first couple of questions, we need to assess our relationship with Jesus. And we need to consider how well that we know him. You know, are you engaging daily in prayer? And are you engaging daily in the study of the scriptures? Because that's how he speaks to us those two ways. He speaks to us through the scriptures. He speaks to us through prayer as we go to him in prayer. Are we doing those things to deepen our personal relationship and our trust in him? I hope and pray that you say, yes, I am doing that. If not, and once again, the Holy Spirit has put it on your heart that there are some adjustments that you need to make so that you can follow him more closely, that you can hear him more clearly. Okay, let me hit one more question out of our text today. Another thing I'd like to ask you, question number four, is this. What does Jesus mean by other sheep that he mentions in John chapter 10, verse 16, and how does this shape our understanding of his mission? Let me share John 10, 16 with you. It says, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Now, as we observe that particular text, Jesus refers to other sheep not currently in the sheepfold who will listen to his voice. So you can kind of see, it's like, well, wait a minute, if they're believers, then they would be in the sheepfold. If they're not believers, then they're outside of the sheepfold. But he is saying this. He's saying that there will be some other sheep that aren't currently in the fold, but who will listen to his voice. Now, people have asked me about that before, and I can make a speculation of what I believe about that. Usually when I change gears like that, you'll hear me say, I'm going to give you my opinion as the gospel, according to Roy, not necessarily something that I can prove out of the text. But here's something that's a little bit of food for thought as you consider this particular question. Now, the other sheep could likely represent the Gentiles, indicating that Jesus' mission to unite all people under one shepherd would be complete as that happens. This emphasizes the inclusivity of his message and mission to each and every one of us. Now, we know that, and particularly back in this day, people always knew that the Jews were God's chosen people. Israel was God's chosen people. We also know that as Gentiles that we are adopted sons. We are grafted in. So as we think about this particular comment that he says that there are other sheep who are outside of the sheepfold, but yet they will hear his voice, could very well be that he is addressing the Gentile nation that would accept him. Now, I'm often asked this question. They'll say, well, who are the Gentiles? And my response is generally like this, okay, are you a Jew? And they'll say, well, no, I'm not a Jew. I said, then you're a Gentile. So that's me and you. We are adopted sons. We are grafted in. Now, before anybody gets crazy thinking about that, here's something I also want you to understand. When a child, consider a child that is adopted in our society today. When they are adopted into a family, they have the same legal rights as a biological child. Hopefully and prayerfully, they are treated by the adoptive parents in the same manner that a biological child would be treated. But they have all of the rights, all of the privileges of a biological child, even though they were adopted and grafted in. Okay? I hope that helps you to understand that a little bit better. It's really a neat concept. Most often when I think about this, and particularly when it talks about grafting, when I think about that, I think about how they graft trees together, and they create different kinds of trees by grafting them together. And before long, that graft becomes a part of that whole stem, tree, whatever it may be that it's being grafted into, okay? So when you think about that, the other sheep that hear his voice that are not in the sheepfold, that could very well be the Gentile nation that he is addressing. And remember, this is emphasizing his inclusivity of his message of salvation as well as his mission, okay? So today what we need to do is recognize that the gospel is meant for all people, and we need to consider how we can participate in reaching those who are outside of the fold with the message of Jesus Christ. Now, you know what? For me, the Lord called me to preach the message, and that's what I do. For me, I can sit back and say, well, the talents, gifts, and abilities he's given me is to just simply share through the Word of God, through preaching, preaching, through Bible studies, and through so many other ways. But yet, even though you may not be a preacher, God still calls you to do the same thing. How can you participate in reaching those who are outside of the fold with the message, the saving message of Jesus Christ? Okay? Well, the biblical truth that we want to learn today from our text is simply this, that Jesus is our good shepherd. He is guiding us to a personal and sacrificial and inclusive relationship with God the Father. The question is, are we on that journey with Him? Yeah, I hope and trust and pray that you are. And if not, whatever the Holy Spirit may have brought to your heart and mind this week through our text and what He has just spoken into your life, we need to take those things and we need to apply them to our lives. So what would be an action step that we could take based on what we've learned today? Well, here's one. This week, you could reach out to someone who is not part of your faith community and share a kind word or do a kind deed that's reflecting of the Father's love and an invitation to His sheepfold. You know what? It really catches people off guard when you do something that is outside of the norm of the world. An act of kindness for somebody, maybe even somebody that you don't even know. And I always like to say it like this. You got to understand that when you do that, you're not doing it for you. You are doing that as being the hands and the feet of our Heavenly Father. That's what makes the difference. You know, sometimes people will come up and say, well, thank you so much for taking care of how much I was short at the cash register, or thank you for that meal. I really appreciate that. Well, you know what? Oftentimes I'll simply say this. Well, you know what? I tell you what you need to do. You need to thank the Heavenly Father because He's the one who put it on my heart to do this, which means He is the one who is making that provision. And we always try to deflect any, you know, personal praise to the Father so that people will fall in love with Him and not just with us. They'll fall in love with Him and not just a random act of kindness or a kind word or whatever it may be. They need to know we are reflecting the Father's love to each and every person as we go forward. And I hope and trust and pray that you can do that. If not, maybe that would be an action step for you as you begin this week. I'll tell you what, let me close our time out in a word of prayer, and then I'll tell you a little bit about what we're going to be looking at in the Word next week for the Wednesday Bible study. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you now, thank you so much, Lord, for your great, great, kind illustration of how you love us and how you are definitely our shepherd and that we are sheep. And Lord, I am so grateful that when I call out your name, you hear my voice and you know who I am. But Lord, I'm just as appreciative of the fact that when you speak to me, I hear your voice and I know it because I have sifted it through your word. I have sifted it through prayer. I pray that each and every one of us can say the same because you truly are a good, good Father. You are a good, good shepherd. And Lord, you want to do some incredible things in and through each and every one of your children. So Lord, I pray that this week you will help us to be able to reach that love into the hearts and lives of somebody that we may come in contact with, whether it's in our neighborhood, whether it's the grocery store, or whether it's our workplace, our schools, college campuses, wherever it may be. Help us, Lord, to be your hands and your feet, professing that you truly are the shepherd and we are the sheep, and we want to fall in love with you each and every day and draw closer and closer to you. So Lord, bless this week. Bless each and every person in the sound of my voice this week. Give them a special blessing for having taken the opportunity to gather around your word. And Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey folks, listen, let me tell you about what we're going to be looking at next week. Next week, I'm looking for us to start a new series. We kind of finished up with our parables. So what I want you to do for this particular week, your reading for this week, will be actually 1 Corinthians chapter 13, as well as John chapter 13. I'm going to use a couple of different passages out of each of those chapters. So 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and John chapter 13. And we're actually next week going to begin a new series on developing Christ-like character. What are the characteristics of our Heavenly Father? What are the characteristics that we can emulate as we go forward? So next week, we're going to discuss the first in our six-part sermon series of developing Christ-like character. We're going to look at the foundation of love particularly out of 1 John chapter 4. Okay, 1 John chapter 4 is where we're going to actually be looking next week on how we can develop those Christ-like characteristics in our lives as we go forward and as we follow Him. Now, as always, I want to invite you, if you don't have a church home, please join us at Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. We're located at 1715 Highway 68 in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. And our service times begin at 10:45 a.m. on Sundays. We also have all kinds of discipleship opportunities throughout the week, including Sunday school, small groups. We also have Awana for our children, our children's age group, and we actually do Awana on Sunday nights. But at any rate, listen, I look forward to seeing you. I hope and pray that you will join us. If you do, come up, introduce yourself to me. I would love to have the opportunity to meet you and just thank you for joining us, not only on the Wednesday Bible study, but joining us in person at Central Baptist Church. I hope to see you Sunday. God bless. Have a great week.